From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, Awakening to the Spirit World with Hank Wesselman. And here's what's happening. Well, I guess you could thank your lucky stars you weren't aboard this cruise ship. Two cruise ship passengers have been killed after a 26-foot wave smashed into the ship off the coast of France. Six people also suffered minor injuries on board the Cypriot-owned Louis Majesty. It says the accident occurred near the French Mediterranean port of Marseille as the ship was sailing from Barcelona to Genoa in Italy with 1,300 passengers and 580 crew aboard when this 26-foot wave smashed right into the ship. A prolonged aftershock shook the ground and buildings in Chile's capital of Santiago. The tremor in the capital occurred shortly after a strong 6.3 magnitude aftershock hit off the Chilean coast earlier Wednesday, triggering new fears in the southern central town of Concepcion just days after a massive 8.8 magnitude quake there devastated the region. Already more than 800 people have died after last weekend's quake. The Chilean president says the death toll could go higher. And this just in Taiwan. It has just been hit with a 6.4 magnitude earthquake, buildings shaking, some injuries reported there. When it's your time to go, I guess it's your time to go. A woman was killed while walking to work after she was struck in the head by a flying piece of steel in a freak lawn mowing accident in Australia. The 42-year-old was just simply walking along a path, minding her own business, when she was hit in the head by a piece of pipe. It is thought that a tool used to clear brushes and grassland being towed by a small tractor ran over the pipe, which had been hidden in long grass, and it went flying and hit her right in the head. If you're skittish about vaccines, listen to this. Microsoft founder Bill Gates recently told a TED conference that vaccines need to be used to reduce the world population in order to solve global warming and lower CO2 effects, stating that the global population was heading toward 9 billion, Gates said, if we do really a great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. Now, did he mean to say that? You decide.
Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
That sounds like he wants to get the population down, doesn't it? And White House science advisor John P. Holdren's 1977 textbook on ecoscience, which calls for the planetary regime to enforce measures of population reduction via all manners of oppressive techniques, including sterilization. New advice from the American Cancer Society puts a sharper focus on the risks of prostate cancer screening, emphasizing that the annual testing can lead to unnecessary biopsies and treatments that do more harm than good. The Cancer Society does not recommend routine screening for most men, a stance that hasn't changed since the mid-1990s, but its new advice even goes further to warn of the limitations of the PSA blood test that millions of American men get now. Coffee drinkers can take heart from a series of studies presented this week at the American Heart Association conferences in San Francisco. Coffee drinkers appear to have a lower risk of hospitalization for abnormal heart rhythms, and there's no indication that having a few cups every day increases the risk of atherosclerosis, the thickening of blood vessel walls that can lead to heart attacks and other problems. What's more, something in coffee other than caffeine might be responsible for a reduced risk of diabetes for women who regularly imbibe coffee. Burt Reynolds' manager says the actor has been released from a Florida hospital after a planned heart bypass operation. Reynolds had been scheduled for the operation for over a month. The star of Smokey and the Bandit, Deliverance, and Boogie Nights told him that he's got a great motor now with brand new pipes. He's feeling great. Last year, Reynolds spent time in a Florida rehabilitation center after treatment for painkiller abuse. Following back surgery, Reynolds is 74. All these medical stories, we bring in now Christian Wild, author and researcher, his website, myheartbook.com. Christian, first the prostate. So they're saying now, back off a little bit, huh?
Well, I don't know what to believe anymore, George.
I know.
The American Cancer Society last year told women they didn't need mammograms and pap smears till after age 50. But when I did some research, I found out that 17% of all breast cancer diagnosed in women is between the ages of 40 and 50. So now they're saying this situation in regard to the PSA and blood tests. I do know that regardless of this information, you need to be involved in your own health care and realize that African-American men at age 40 still need to be screened and monitored for prostate cancer. And if you have in your family a first-degree relative, 65 or younger, that has had or does have prostate cancer, you need to be screened for it regardless. Now, I have room for one more story in the March issue, and what I'm going to do is dedicate it to natural prevention for women for breast cancer and men for prostate cancer.
Super.
And I think you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
690 men in the United States with prostate cancer compared to 20 in India because of turmeric with bioperine.
Here we go. And new pipes for Burt Reynolds, huh?
Boy, I bet he feels like just like a new man because he didn't suddenly have one or two arteries closed. These have been happening for probably three or four decades. So little by little, progressively, he's been losing blood flow to the brain and to the lungs and probably been feeling fatigued. I remember his first movie, which we saw, I think, was Deliverance with...
That was a great movie.
And my wonderful actor friend, John Voight, did an incredible job, as he always does.
Oh,
also.
Yeah. He was the one with the bow and arrow.
That's right. Well, yeah, that was fantastic.
All right. Thanks, Christian.
Thank you.
His website, myheartbook.com, part of our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. In New York, as planes waited to take off from Kennedy Airport, the radio chatter between the controllers and the pilots was interrupted by a young boy's voice. JetBlue 171 cleared for takeoff. An air traffic controller who brought his son to work let the youngster read a few routine messages to pilots and then brought in another child the next day in an incident that amused pilots, but not the Federal Aviation Administration.
JetBlue 171 cleared for takeoff.
Clear for takeoff, JetBlue 171.
Let's see, Air Mexico 403 Kennedy, I'm going through a left position hold.
Position hold, Air Mexico 403.
This is what you get, guys, when the kids are out of school.
I can bring my kid to work.
JetBlue 171, contact departure.
Over to departure, JetBlue 171, awesome job.
Come get in.
03, clear for takeoff.
403, clear for takeoff, thank you very much, and have a great day.
AMAC 403, contact departure, adios.
Contact departure, Idle Mexico 403, adios.
Blue 195 with 31013, and we threw in left here for takeoff.
Cleared for takeoff, 31 left, JetBlue 195.
Triple two, I'm sorry, Delta 216, can't leave runway 31 left position, hold.
Just hold, 31 left, Delta 216.
Contact departure, adios amigos.
Adios amigos, over to departure, JetBlue 195.
Well, I guess it was kind of cute, as long as you're not in the plane, huh? Well, authorities suspended the controller and the supervisor after the recording of this radio call was posted on the internet. A nail dating from the time of Christ's crucifixion has been found at a remote fort believed to have been once the stronghold of the Knights Templar. This story is at coasttocoastam.com under In the News. The 4-inch long nail is thought to be one of the thousands used in crucifixions across the Roman Empire. Archaeologists believe it dates from either the 1st or 2nd century AD. The nail was found last summer in a decorated box in a fort on the tiny isle just off the coast of Madeira. It was thought to have been held by the Knights Templar, the religious order that was part of the Christian forces which occupied Jerusalem during the Crusades in the 12th century. Bryn Walters, an archaeologist, said the iron nail's remarkable condition suggested It had been handled with extreme care, as if it was a relic. Christopher Macklin of the Knights Templar of Britannia says the discovery was momentous. He said the original Knights Templar may have thought it was one of the nails used in Christ's crucifixion. What a story there. And two vials said to contain the spirits of ghosts exorcised from a house in New Zealand have been put up for sale on an online auction site. The seller claims the spirits were captured by an exorcist from a spiritual church. One is believed to be the ghost of a man called Les Graham, who died in the house in the 1920s. The other, according to the seller on eBay, he and his partner stupidly used a Ouija board. Those are his words. That story, too, is in the news at coasttocoastam.com. Up next, the ghost hunter, Mary Ann Winkowski, joins us. Her latest work, A Book of Illumination. Mary Ann is next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. In the past 50 years, Mary Ann Winkowski has met and conversed with hundreds of earthbound spirits, suicides, murders, victims, spirits attached to people, places, things of all. They create situations that call for Mary Ann's very special releasing talent. In case after case, the information Mary Ann gets from the spirits has been historically verified. As a matter of fact, she's not a psychic, not a medium. She's a real deal, as the experts from the FBI claim. Here's Mary Ann Winkowski. But where is Mary Ann Winkowski?
Hi.
You sound like you're not on a telephone tonight.
Gee, I wonder why.
You sound like you're in the studio. How are you, Mary Ann?
I'm terrific.
It's good to see you. Finally meet after all these years.
That's right.
You're here. Of course, you're a consultant still on Ghost Whisperer.
Yes.
And I'm sure that keeps you busy. But the you and Maureen Foley, brand new work called The Book of Illumination. What's
right.
that all about?
It's the first fiction book I've done.
Fiction?
And, yeah.
I hear a movie coming.
Well, you know, wait and see.
Never
but
know.
I thought that I would like to try to make the ghosts a little weirder than they really are in real life. Let's put it that way.
You mean they really can be weirder than
in
real life?
In fiction, yes. But, you know, it was hard to write. I thought you could just make stuff up if you wrote fiction, but you still have to go back to what you know.
Yeah, you really do. You have to be grounded with reality.
Yes.
And then try to make it sound like it's a novel.
Right.
That's a lot of work.
Yes, it is. It's hard.
You know, you have been looking at, for years now, I say the past 50 years, hunting ghosts. And, you know, for our new folks who pop in, Mary Ann Winkowski was taken to the funeral homes when you were how old?
4 years old.
4 years old.
Yeah.
Why?
Because my grandmother realized that I could see and talk to spirits that hadn't crossed over yet. And they always attend their funeral. So I was like her special grandchild. And, you know, in the Italian community, years ago, when people came over from Europe, they settled in little pockets
sure.
of, you know, nationalities. And also that made Grandma special because she had the special granddaughter that could talk to, you know, the dead paisan or the dead kumba or whatever.
What were funerals like in the Italian community? Weren't they kind of spirited? Literally?
Literally. They had the weepers and the criers and...
And you.
And that's what scared me. The live people scared me, carrying on as bad as
well,
they did.
Well, you're a little girl. You're 4 years old.
Right, right. But the ghosts never scared me. They just stand there and shake their head like they didn't believe what was going on either.
Did you know they were ghosts at that time?
I knew they were not alive, but I don't think the word ghost ever came into my head.
Did the spirit or the ghost know that you knew or could see them?
Oh, yeah, because I'd start talking to them right away. I've got this thing of talking a lot, and even when I was little, I talked a lot.
So the dead person who everyone was going to the funeral to see.
Correct.
To honor.
Yes.
Was standing there.
Correct.
And there's little four-year-old Mary Ann Winkowski hanging around. Well, you weren't Winkowski at the
no,
time.
No, right. But, yeah, no, they, and I just walk up to them and start talking to them and go, hi. And
what did they tell you?
Well, a lot of them wanted to know why they didn't scare me. And I would look at them like, well, why would you scare me? You're not hurting me.
Did they want to scare you?
No, but I think they were surprised. surprised, I think. And then they wanted to know, they would ask me questions that I really didn't know answers to. It's very strange. Hospice nurses will be sitting in somebody's living room with the patient, and the patient will sort of look off to a corner and go, gee, Bob, what are you doing here? And the nurse sort of looks around and goes, who are you talking to? And Bob, but he's standing in the corner there. He's been dead for 10 years. So now I go to the cemetery. Now I'm going to go to the funeral of this man. He's standing there, and he'll ask me. He'll say, 2 days ago, I was talking to my brother Bob. Now he's standing in that white light. He won't talk to me. That's right, because now you need to go into the light to talk to him.
Did they try, and I'm talking about spirit, did they try to pass on messages to you?
Oh, they do.
Like, you know, the money's under the mattress.
Oh, I found a lot of good stuff.
Really?
Oh, sure, sure. Hidden drawers, hidden in pipes and furnaces down the basement. Beautiful pair of blue sapphire earrings for an anniversary gift, cash. Yeah, I do.
And as you grew up, Marianne, this continued, I take it, this ability.
It did. It did. And I think it got to a point where it's just second nature to me. I just don't think this is odd. This is what it would be odd if I didn't see a ghost.
You know the movie that Whoopi Goldberg was in, Ghost?
Ghost, right? Yes.
The one with the late Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore. And, you know, she was bothered by these ghosts. I mean, they wouldn't leave her alone. Once mm-hmm. they realized that she could see them and communicate through them, they didn't leave her alone. Does that happen to you? Do you get bugged a lot by ghosts?
I've only had one man show up next to my bed in the middle of the night.
What did he want?
Do you remember when your kids were small and they'd come in your bedroom and they'd just stand next to the bed and not say anything and you'd wake with a start?
No, but mine would always jump on me.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
But that was fun.
Well, my husband and I, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, we're sound asleep, and I woke up and there's this man standing next to my bed. And I said,
not a good feeling.
No, I says, who are you? And he looks at me, he goes, Marianne, Marianne. And I looked at him, and I reached over on my nightstand. I put my glasses on, and I looked at him, and he said, I'm Bob, the DEA agent. I said, Bob, oh, no. And because he obviously, if I'm seeing him in spirit form, he's dead. I said, what happened? He said, I was undercover for the last 7 months. He says it went bad. And he says, you got to call my partner. He said, he's got to get my body. I said, okay. So I just reached over and got a phone, picked up the phone. He gave me a number and this guy picks up the phone. He goes, hello. I said, Rich? He goes, yeah. I says, it's Marianne. He goes, who? I says, Marianne, the Ghostbuster. He goes, why are you? Oh, no. I said, yep, he's standing right here.
He knew.
He knew, yeah. So I went to the funeral, and so I'm standing between these two DEA agents, the one dead and one alive, and I says, why did you come to my house? And he said, well, after you helped us on that one case, we had made a pact between the two of us that if one of us died, we'd go find you. I says, you know, you could have let me know that you were going to do that.
I love it. What's the premise behind the Book of Illumination?
It's going to be a series because the new one comes out in the fall. Mm-hmm. And it's a young mother.
Anza O'Malley.
Yes. And she's got a 5-year-old son. And she's originally from the Cleveland area, which you write about what you know.
Uh-huh.
But she's living in Boston. And Maureen, my co-writer, that's where she's from. And so all the settings are and historical facts are all right on, dead on.
It's got a lot of, as they say, ghoulish intrigue.
Yes, it does.
I didn't think you had that kind of spirit in you.
Like I says, I don't have as good as imagination as I thought I did, but there's some there. And, you know, we're celebrating our 100th episode of Ghost Whisperer this Friday.
I know, that's fantastic, man.
And so I watch that be Hollywoodized every week, and it's like, okay, I can pick some things out of the air.
Well, you did well on this, along with your co-author Maureen Foley. Stick with us, Marianne Winkowski with us. She also has written the book called When Ghosts Speak. We'll let you speak with her next on Coast to Coast AM. Over the past couple of months, I've been getting lots of emails from folks who want a program on shamans. That's what we're going to do at the top of the hour with Hank Wesselman, Awakening to the Spirit World. When we come back, we'll continue chatting with Marianne Winkowski about her latest work, The Book of Illumination, and we'll take your phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we are. We've got the Ghostbuster, Marianne Winkowski, with us in studio, and then we have your phone calls as well. Marianne, in the Los Angeles area that you've been, it's pretty haunted out here. You know,
yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. I was on the studio today doing a walk on for Ghost Whisperer, and oh my gosh, the ghost that were just hanging out on our set was ridiculous.
Do they follow you?
Nope.
They don't.
Not at all.
How's Jennifer Love Hewitt doing?
Oh, she's just terrific.
She's been there since the conception, hasn't she?
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, and she directed this episode on Friday night, the 100th episode.
Well, I got to tell you, it's great with scripted drama nowadays because everything's reality.
Yes, yes, yes.
So that's good for you, and more power to you. And you're working with James Von Prague too, right?
Yes, he's a consultant on the show also, right?
Super. All right, to the phones we go. Let's go to Biloxi, Mississippi. First-time caller. Michael, you're up with us. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
How you doing, Mr. George? I just want to let you know that I love your show. I listen to it every night.
Thanks, Michael.
Miss Mayor, you sound like a nice woman, a well-rounded person. You sound very intelligent. I have just a couple questions I need to ask you.
Sure.
My first question is, do you believe in the Bible?
Absolutely.
Well, in the Bible, it states that the dead know nothing and have no partake in anything underneath the sun, that they sleep and wait for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And Satan likes to play games. I'm not saying that you don't see spirits because Satan does these kind of things. I mean, I'm not saying that they're good and bad spirits, but do you believe that this is Satan having things to do with this?
Now, that's an interesting question. What about Satan involved in this?
Well, I think there's a good and bad in everything. And if there's angels, there's devils. So, yeah, you have a point. You know, this could go either way. I think there are negative spirits out there, and then they're just plain old people that died and didn't cross over. And so I think it's out there. It's just, you know, what I happen to run across on any particular day.
Have you ever been scared to death because of what you do?
Never. I don't think I could do this if it scared me, because I would be giving the spirit more energy, which is what they feed on.
Interesting. Next up, we go to Phoenix, Arizona, west of the Rockies. Hello, Stephen. Go ahead.
Hi, how you doing, George?
Okay.
Love your show.
Thanks, Stephen.
Hey, I have a question, Marianne.
Yes?
When you first started getting the ability to communicate with spirits, did it progress from just sensing them and being able to acknowledge them, or were you able to communicate verbally with them from the start?
I was able to do it right from the start. Plus, I have the ability to see the spirit exactly as the way they looked when they were alive. I don't see shadow people. I don't see mists. I don't see heat waves. I see the regular person.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
How about members of your family? Do they still do this?
No, I have three younger sisters, and none of them can do it. They have very good gut instincts, but they really can't see them. And out of our two daughters, the younger one can, and wishes she didn't, and the older one can't and wishes she could.
Okay, we're going to your neck of the woods, at least close, Cincinnati, Ohio, east of the Rockies. Hey, Laura, go ahead.
Hi, I have a question. When you're taking care of someone, you know, that's close to you, that has cancer,
mm-hmm.
and you feel like a cool breeze,
mm-hmm.
or like the room's much cooler,
okay.
than the rest of the house. Can that mean that some, you know, like there's a past relative that...
Long lingering illnesses, and cancer, of course, fits that description. Mm-hmm. A lot of times their relatives that have crossed over will come and help them make that transition. So you absolutely could feel a temperature change. And not just cool, it could be a warm or cool. But the TV and movies always say, oh, it's cold, it's a ghost. But it could be a temperature change one way or the other.
Right, yeah.
And it's a comfort to the person that's sick, because a lot of times you'll see them smile or reach out to somebody or start talking, and you know they're talking to somebody that they're seeing.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, well, thank you.
You're sure welcome.
Thing. So we had that story before you came on, Rosemary. I mean, Mary Ann, Rosemary's my dream lady. And it had to do with a couple spirits that were captured in a little box. Come on, is that possible?
I'd like to know how they caught them. How do you do that? You know, I keep thinking of Genie in the Bottle or the Ghostbusters with that machine that would suck them up. I don't know how you would do that. You know, but I've also learned never to say never. So, I don't know.
Never say never. Let's go to Illinois. Tony, you're up with us. You're on with Mary Ann Winkowski.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good, Tony.
That's good. You have the greatest show on radio.
We're having fun.
Oh, thank you so much. This radio program tonight is a godsend to me. My mom died January 13th.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I took care of her for over 20 years. And she had dementia, Alzheimer's,
mm-hmm.
plus a few other problems. My question is, it's kind of hard for me.
Okay. Well, she's not stuck, because anybody that has a long lingering mental illness like that, where somebody is there to help them cross over into the light.
Thank God.
So she's not stuck. If you haven't dreamt about her, you will shortly, and she will be healthy, and she will be able to talk to you, and you will see for yourself that she is perfectly fine.
Okay, because before she passed, we're in the hospital room, and we're in a heart ward, and, you know, there is no smoking allowed.
Mm-hmm.
I lean back in the chair, and I swear to you, as God is my judge, I smelled cigarette smoke.
Your dad?
And how did you know that? Because that was it. The smell was of, if I may say, the brand Kent cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was a Kent cigarette smoker.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that smell distinctly. And 8 hours later, Mama went to heaven.
He just came and got her.
Oh, thank God. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
You touch a lot of lives, Marianne. Whether you know it or not.
I guess. I guess I do.
Yeah. Yes, you do. Let's go to Oak Park, Illinois. Chuck, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Chuck, go ahead.
Thanks, George. You're sure. A good man. Sure. Marianne, why is it these ghosts don't want to cross over? Are they afraid of going to hell? And also, how do they cross over?
Okay, there's a couple of reasons why they don't cross over. That could be one, is that they're afraid of retribution if they didn't leave, you know, a good, holy life. Another reason is if a young person dies, they don't want to be dead. 17, 18 years old, they think they're too young and they don't want to die, so they're going to stick around. A mother, young mother, could get killed and have small children. She's not going to want to leave her kids. People can be attached to their personal items.
Well, what about the Lord? Don't they have to cross over because of the Lord? I mean, if you believe in the Lord,
yes,
they don't ever want to cross over.
Right, but the Lord also gave us free will. And you still have free will after you die, because when you're alive, you have the choice to be good or bad. That's free will. And when you are dead, you still have free will, which is the choice of going into that white light or not. That white light will only stay with a dead person for about 72 to 80 hours after the last memorial service. And so at any time, they can walk into that light, but then the light disappears and now they're stuck.
I see. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Eventually, does some entity come and get them and bring them back?
No.
That won't happen?
No. But they can, and none of your listeners should ever be stuck. If you decide to stick around and give somebody grief and lose your light which I would never recommend. But if you do, all you have to do is go to a funeral home that has a service going on. That bright white light that's there for that dead person is not an individual light. That's a universal light. You just have to go bebopping into that light and you'll be where you need to be.
Are you a believer in reincarnation, Marianne?
Yeah, I'm not supposed to, but I do.
You do. Well, no, you say that with some trepidation. How come?
Well, being Catholic, that is not one of the things real high up that Catholics believe in, but I do believe in it, actually.
Well, they're beginning to believe in UFOs and extraterrestrials.
Well, whoever it's about time, right?
Let's go to Las Vegas, first time caller. Go ahead, Joe.
Hello, George. Good show. Thank you for taking my call, Marianne. Mm-hmm. A question for you. Do some people cross over immediately, and therefore that's why relatives don't see them or have any contact with them, dream about them, or anything of that nature?
No, you have that a little backwards. You don't dream of anybody that's died unless they have crossed over.
Okay.
If you haven't dreamt of them or nobody has dreamt of them, then they are probably still earthbound.
Okay. Do they try to make some attempt to contact you? I mean, I'm very skeptical by nature,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and people tell me I'm not looking for the sign, and I haven't seen the sign is there, and I'm just not seeing it. Other family members have had, you know, visions or dreams or thoughts or feelings, and you know.
Okay. Well, if somebody, say for an example, Dad died, and you have not had a dream of him, but a sibling has or your mother has, as long as somebody has had a dream of that person, they are where they're supposed to be.
Okay.
Okay.
Why would some people receive them and others not?
A lot of people don't remember their dreams. Everybody dreams, but not everybody remembers their dreams. So maybe you have, but you just haven't remembered them. Maybe they were so close to you that they would be afraid it would upset you if they came into a dream. And if they haven't been dead that long, sometimes it can take up to 2 or 3 years before they finally show up in a dream.
Really? That long?
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of feeling left out because everybody else has had something.
Oh, no.
Maybe they're mad at me.
Always a reason, Joe. No, I don't think they're mad at me.
Nah, I don't think so.
All right. Well,
thanks, Joe.
Thank you for your call.
Appreciate that. What about precognitive dreams, though? Marianne, if somebody is dreaming about someone who is going to die, does that happen?
I think some people have that ability. I really do. And it wouldn't be one I would particularly want.
Do they have a responsibility to tell the living person, hey, look, I just had a dream. You're going to die. Be careful. You know, if you're going through intersections, be careful. If, you know, you're going swimming, be careful.
See, I think that part is right. But the first sentence you said is that I had a dream and you're going to die. I think I would leave that out.
You wouldn't say that. Just be careful.
Yeah,
that opens up the question, what do you mean? Why?
Well, right? then it's the person asking, okay? And then you could say, well, I had a dream about you that was a little disturbing. So watch it when you go swimming next weekend or, you know, be careful at stoplights or that kind of thing.
Ever been to Pawtucket, Rhode Island?
No.
You are right now. Here we go. East of the Rockies, Kathleen, take it away.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Love you. Marianne.
Yes.
How will I know if someone's around me?
Okay.
And then I have to follow that up with another quick question.
Sure.
Okay.
And that's an important question. How do
right.
they know that they're being
If followed? They are earthbound, you're going to have a lot of trouble in your house with your electronic stuff. You're going to be tired all the time. Things will go missing and then show up in odd places. If you have kids in the house under the age of 10 or 12, they're going to have a lot of ear, nose, throat, and upper respiratory problems. Adults are going to have unexplained headaches when you're home, possibly
oh, wow.
lower intestinal problems. Now, if you have spirits around you that have crossed over, which we all do, but with our spirit guides, our guardian angel, and relatives that come back and forth, you might smell Old Spice aftershave, and that's all your grandpa wore. You might smell
the
old cigar.
Cigar, right. If you smell smells like that remind you of somebody, that's them just visiting, and that's terrific. Just like if you take pictures and you get orbs in pictures.
Right.
You want orbs in pictures. That is a spirit that has crossed over and is back for a visit.
Okay, quick question. I have a 2.5-year-old cat, and mm-hmm. he stares at my mother's curio cabinet, and he stares at the angel pictures on my wall that's near the ceiling,
mm-hmm.
or he stares at a blank wall.
What's the cat sensing, Maria?
He's really bugging me out.
Okay, some animals are more tuned in than others, and he could be seeing either ones that have crossed over or ones that have not. You have your bedrooms are upstairs in this house?
Go ahead.
Are your bedrooms upstairs in this house?
I didn't hear you.
Sorry.
Oh, okay. Are your bedrooms upstairs in this house?
I live on the second floor of an apartment.
Oh, okay. That's where you're on the second floor. Okay. Yeah, I think you have definitely spirits that have crossed over that are there visiting you. I think you're okay.
You think it's my mom?
Yeah, if you've dreamt of her, it probably is.
Yeah, but when she came to me,
mm-hmm.
she flashed in my eyes 4 nasty-looking faces of her face.
Then that wasn't a dream of your mother. That was not a dream of your mother coming to you. That was you having a dream of your mother. There's a difference.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, but I think you're in good shape.
Okay, thanks, Ken. Let's go to Moondog in Dayton, Ohio, part of the Nighthawk Zone. Brand new grandfather, just had bypass surgery. Go ahead, Moondog.
Thank you, George. Sure. Marianne, how are you?
I'm great.
The question I got for you is, do you know of anybody, of course, you know, when someone just passes away,
mm-hmm.
you know, someone had just seen them,
mm-hmm.
but has anybody ever, I'm trying to get this where you understand the question, have you had an experience where someone had just passed away? I mean, just like seen the passing before they passed. You understand what I'm saying?
Seeing the spirit leave the body?
Right. You know, just not at the time of, but just right before, you know, just right when he knew or she knew they were going to pass.
Yeah, no, I've never actually seen that. And usually the best people to ask that question to are your hospital workers.
And that's called what, the ectoplasm?
Yes.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, leaving, exactly.
Marianne,
exactly.
Just a few minutes to go here. First of all, people want to contact you. I've even had friends that have contacted you. How do they get a hold of you?
Website is the best way, MarianneWinkowski.com.
All right, very good. And the Book of Illumination, where is it available?
Everywhere. Every bookstore.
Are you walking around the set of Ghost Whisperer handing out a few copies?
No, actually, I'm not. I didn't even bring any with me.
You're kidding me.
No, I didn't.
You going to sign this one for us before you leave?
I'd be happy to.
All right, let's take one more quick question, and that is it. Alexis in Dallas, we've got about a minute. Go ahead, Alexis.
Hi. Nice to listen to you this evening. My question is for people who fear death and for people who think that death is a scary thing, is it something to be afraid of?
I've never been afraid of it because I always know there's more than just our living life, that there's definitely something after.
So you know there's something on the other
Absolutely.
Side. That's why you're not afraid
no,
of it.
No, that's exactly right.
If you did not believe in life after death,
mm-hmm.
and you believe that this was it,
mm-hmm.
it would scare you a little bit.
And I think you're right. I think you're right because the unknown is what's scary. But I know what's there, so it's okay.
I mean, the approach I take, Marianne, I want to enjoy this life as long as I can.
You bet.
In a fulfilling way. But when it's time, it's time.
And we all have to go.
And you got to move on. Marianne Winkowski, thanks for popping into the studio.
Oh, thanks for having me. This was great.
Say hi to everybody at Ghost Whisperer for us, okay?
I will.
You got it. Marianne Winkowski, her book, The Book of Illumination. It's a novel from The Ghost Files. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the awakening to the spirit world with Hank Wesselman, The Shamanic Path of Direct Revelation. That's next on Coast to Coast AM.